welcome to this Monday edition of the Grace Hour Show. It's a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I am joined by my handsome husband, Roger Robbins, in the studio today. And we are going to be talking about an amazing topic all week, and it's going to be based on Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, which is, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength." And we today are going to be talking about just the general laying the foundation for loving God with all of me.
Yes.
And as we were preparing, we were thinking about this commandment, because it is a commandment. It's a commandment given by God. And rather than today diving into the how of loving God, which, you know, in the coming days, they're going to talk about loving God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and then Friday will be all of your strength. So Right. Those are going to be incredible, and I look forward to hearing those. So we thought today that we would, rather than talk about the how, we wanted to talk about the why. Why should we? Why do we want to love God with all of ourselves? And so we're going to kind of go at it from a couple different angles. We've really enjoyed getting into this over the week, starting with the incredible truth that God is the source of love, and then also that God loved us first. And then we want to ask a great question, which is, what qualifies God to ask to command this love of us? And then lastly, we want to land in the amazing truth that God is jealous for us, that He desires us. So that's kind of a quick little outline of the show. It's going to be good.
I'm like thinking about just the ending already and where this is going to take us, but it's cool. It's like our Monday mornings, right? Like,
yeah.
We're starting our day and we're like, okay, how's this going to go? We're starting a big week. And for everyone out there, this is going to be a great week. We hope you had a great weekend wherever you were in your church and community, and praying and hoping that the message, the time with your families and friends, was blessed and full of God's presence.
Yeah, and coming up on Thanksgiving this week.
Yes, and now we're like starting to exercise our, not our spiritual gifts, but our physical ones as we enter this awesome, amazing holiday. For Liz and I, this is going to be our first in some years.
America.
Yeah, yeah, our Thanksgivings were in another country, and it was so much fun because we really tried to represent our country and our Thanksgiving love and passion as we could in that country. And so thinking about love as something that maybe we just take for a moment a philosophical approach, and not to be like too lofty and try to like go too far out there, but we want to like bring in the idea that this verse and this whole week's goal is to get us to activate and start to cultivate and encourage or continue to form that relationship we have with God. So when we put our trust in Him, we received a relationship that was everything. It's paramount. But if we pull back for a minute and look at the why, we want to say why is because love in itself, if we really just like to just strip it all down, we have to look at its origin or its source.
Yeah.
And I want to stress the point of being our, like from
origin,
our view,
yeah,
from the mind point or viewpoint of man, how does he look at love? Because as we look at many things in life, they all have a starting point, a place where it came from. It came to it. It was a source, and we discovered that. So love also has a source, and it has a starting point. We know that God has no beginning or end, but we also know that in the Bible, in 1 John chapter 4, that it says that God is love, in verse 8, right? God is love. So God is full completely. He has no shadow or variance or like,
yeah,
there's no part of him that isn't love, the same as he is holy. There's no part of him that isn't holy, right? Because God is not a man, right? He doesn't lie, but he's different. And so his self and his being God and being love, is something that we must first evaluate. Yeah. Or in as we want to like suggest to you is if you haven't considered this,
yeah,
like where is this love coming from? Why is it here in this world? Why does it exist? And just to be very clear, it exists because God let it.
Yeah.
God gave it permission, right? It's Genesis 1:26. He said, with the Trinity, let us make man in our image.
Yeah.
Like that's love. Yeah. Love, the source of love, and where that love went is all in just that one verse in Genesis 1:26.
Yeah.
Just love was there proclaimed and created and given a place and a face. So if we, and it's hypothetical here, right? Like we're talking and encouraging ourselves today that if we consider the source, the origin, that like man doesn't find in himself anything good actually in his flesh, like it says in Romans 7, but that this love has come from somewhere else. It's come from God.
Yeah.
And if it has, that's the game changer. Like that's like, this is the moment where we can shift in a way and begin to see something much deeper than what we initially thought.
Yeah. Cause I think, you know, if, when you hear this commandment in Deuteronomy 6, where it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. We were thinking like, maybe there's somebody out there who hasn't really walked down the whole path of like, well, why should I?
Yeah.
It's a commandment. It's in the Bible. You could just say that like, well, God said it, so you should probably do it.
Yeah.
But I also love that God cares enough to demonstrate to us why we should.
Right.
Not only say, yes, I will obey this commandment, but I want to love God with all my heart, with all of me.
Right.
And this is such a great starting point, is just to recognize that before any of us existed, before any of creation was, before any of us could enunciate the concept of love, God was and is love.
Yes.
And that this idea that we, some people, especially unbelievers, might think love is just, it's kind of whatever you want it to be. It's defined by how I feel.
Yeah.
It's nebulous. It's and abstract.
And we also create it. We can produce it.
It's philosophical, maybe.
We can purchase it.
Because it's not biological. Maybe some people believe that love is just chemicals in your brain firing in different ways, traveling. And we get to know that the source of love, that first of all, love is real. And it has a source, and that source is the God of the universe, who created in love.
Yes.
He created with his divine love and put in every person his image.
Yeah. And when you follow that way of thinking in Genesis chapter 1, it's like, let us. He's like, there was love within the Trinity.
Yeah.
And that was a present element and characteristic of who they are. They're persons, God being one, but God being multiply, like active in a love and expressing it amongst themselves, the Father, Son, and Spirit, and them going, let's bring this love into a world outside of us. Let's show it. Let's display it.
Yeah.
And the second we acknowledge that, it's kind of like pulling the veil away. Like it really is like, you know, it's because everything outside of not of like a source or origin, like if I don't go to the source and origin, I'm going to have like a distorted or maybe like slighted version of it, a tainted version that's like not the true thing, right? And that's, I think something we've been, I think with this show even, like there's so many different connections.
We keep coming back to this, that God as our primary, I love the way you had said it when we were talking the other night, that this idea of focus, right? That, if you focus on a person, like I'm focusing on you, I cannot simultaneously focus on the light bulb behind you or on the camera. I focus on you. Yes. And when I'm focused on you, everything else is not in focus.
Right.
And I think that it's a beautiful way to consider this commandment that when we love God with all of us, it's that he is our focus. Like we are honed in on him. And yes, there are other things around us. There are things we're doing, but all that we do with him in focus. Mm-hmm. And so, I thought about that proverb, right? That in all your ways, acknowledge him, Proverbs 3, and he will direct your paths. And it's that like acknowledgement, like that, that it's this focusing that if there was not God and his love, there would not be anything.
Existence.
There would not be anything. And so that is pretty convincing argument.
Yeah, and the psalmist
and
said,
it continues,
like, your love is better than life. Like, and I think it's a, I wish that book was here, The Three Philosophies of Love.
Yes, by Peter Kreeft.
Yeah. He says something
Three
like that.
Three Philosophies of Life by Peter Kreeft.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
amazing
not love,
book.
Of life.
Highly recommend.
I wish it was here.
We 10 out of 10.
So one of the cases he makes is like that in that verse in Psalm 63.
Yeah.
Verse 3, it's like your love is better than life. So like life has no existence other than it's...
Yeah, like outside of God's
outside
love.
Outside of that love. So... we have to go to love. And so that's why in Deuteronomy chapter six here, we are like, let's present love. Let's lift it up.
Yeah.
Number two, we said, first of all, we said, God is love foundation, right? And accepting that, meditating on that and like really like stirring that up in your heart in a practical way can unlock these mysteries. And the second thing is that's in 1 John chapter 4. Is that God loves first.
Yes.
God loves first.
Yes, we love him because he first loved us.
If love brought life into existence, we acknowledge the source, God, the origin, it starts from him. The launching out point was him, not me. So then I must like logically say that God loves first. I do not love first because I would not exist. I cannot exist.
Pretty straightforward.
God comes to me.
Yes.
And so these principles, I think, are like a guideline throughout our Christian life.
Yes.
And it's something that we hold on to as foundational as I enter this commandment, right? Because we're talking about a commandment today.
Yeah.
And so this is going to help formulate your why.
Yes.
Right? Like mom and dad say
so
to the son, you know, don't do this, the commandment, the rule, the statute, right? Yeah. But I think many times, and we laugh at each other, I don't know about you guys, but like we start like yelling at our kids about rules and commandments and the laws of our house. And we never spend the time of like sharing its source. Like where does that come from?
Yeah. It
comes from my heart of love. Like I want you to look both ways before you cross the street. Look at me, you know, can I explain it to you by, you know, my eyes and my heart, maybe by application, like a story from my father, you know, like, but we kind of skip over that and just glaze over it as it not as important.
Right.
And we are like throwing down the commandment.
Yeah.
I think many times that's how it gets confused, right? Like God, like being up there angry,
and you
down.
Think about like Deuteronomy comes after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And in Genesis and Exodus, it's God showing individual people, starting with Adam and Eve, but also Noah, and you think about Abraham, all these people that he was showing himself to them. And then later, this is all the way later, that he's like, these are the commandments I have for you. But he has already revealed himself. He has shown himself faithful. He has shown himself good. He has shown himself able, like with all the signs and wonders, the miracles that he performed for them. He demonstrated over and over in different ways, different times, different people that he loves them.
Yes.
His heart for them, that he desires their deliverance, right? And then he presents this commandment and says, now you love me. I love you. Yeah. I have shown it, because we know that love is action, right? And
it's not like a one-off, right? Like, it's not like I did this once and okay.
Yeah.
This is like Deuteronomy is repeat, right? Like, I'm repeating, and really in essence, you're showing love that it's not going to stop.
And it didn't even stop here. Right. Then it's like he came. Like he came.
Fast forward. You mean
fast forward. Yeah, yeah. He loved us first, and then he showed it again and again and again. And ultimately he showed it when he came and was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and laid down his life.
Right.
And on the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
What was the Christmas song that you
said? Yeah, my absolute favorite lyric of any song, and maybe I do like Christmas a little bit more than the average person, but that lyric from O Holy Night, which is that he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Yes.
Always has just hit me right in the chest. Because, and that song, you know, it says, fall on your knees. And we don't fall on our knees out of fear, but we fall on our knees because of like the crushing weight of value that was placed on us. Like when he appeared, when he came down to us so that we could live forever with him, like that work, that saving work on the cross, like the weight of that. We should fall on our knees. Yes. Like, it's incredible to think that.
You just described, like, God is love, and he loves us first. He
and
loves
it's like,
first.
What else am I going to do but love him? Because it's like, so the weight of it is so incredible. It's like, you know, could crush you if you sit in it until you would cry, because you just think like, this is the God of the universe, not only created us in his image, but then he came and reinforced again our value and our worth of every soul by saying that you are worth my blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
My pain, my suffering. So it's incredible.
We gotta, so with that, I know.
Am I getting ahead of myself? What do you tell me to calm down?
No, you're just like, you're in the moment. It's good.
I know.
But then like, let's help in this why.
Yeah.
Let's qualify the why. Okay.
Yes.
What do I mean by that?
Let's
like,
do it.
Have we qualified, or have you approved or singled out or given your attention to make God worthy of, okay, God is love. He loved me first. I now have that love.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have it.
Yeah.
Now, he is asking for in return that we would fulfill his command, which is in essence, when we love him, we are living life.
Yeah.
We are completing the circle, right? Like it's coming full circle here. We're completing what has been started. So the why should we have you and I, have we singled out God as worthy of it?
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier, man was created with two sets of eyes. He's not like a spider where he's like multitasking.
Right. One set of eyes.
Yes. I said two set of eyes. Sorry. Two eyes, one set.
I'm a stickler for the details.
I know.
Okay.
And the spider like has all these eyes. He's looking at everything.
If you have kids, you've watched enough nature shows that you know about all the crazy eyes of all the bugs. And we are not like that. We cannot see behind us and in front of us.
It's funny how even in our society today, the modern world, we are like striving to multitask and striving to like love many things.
Oh, man.
But the Bible tells us, like, this verse came to my mind, Isaiah 1:3, it says, the ox knows its owner, mm-hmm. and the donkey knows its master's crib, but Israel doesn't know. Like, ouch. animals know.
Yeah, they get it.
Where God is.
Yeah.
They know who their master is. They know who their owner is, right? Like, they know the one that loves them, gives them the hay and takes care of them. You know, like animals.
Yeah, that devotion
like
you
the
see
bird
from,
knows.
Yeah.
If we could talk to a bird, the bird would be like, hands down, no.
Yeah.
It's God all day. He's my only focus. He feeds me. You know,
he sees the sparrow.
You talk to
falls.
A bee and the bee's like, hands down, like it's God. He's so simply made and like simply also reflecting.
Yeah. There's clarity.
But that's what's so beautiful about animals and about nature. Their complexity is actually in that simple idea that they are like reflecting God's glory.
Yep.
But man, like, has a soul, a free will. He can choose and go where he pleases, which makes him unique in that if he is to give God his full attention and to qualify him as number one, like, what can happen?
Yeah.
Like, what would happen?
It goes along with that idea of being single-minded, right? It's like so much can be done. God says, like, seek me first.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, Matthew 6:33,
seek first the kingdom of God.
I is single.
When you seek him first, there is so much that comes from that.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to just become like so, like this idea of clarity, like so focused that it's very clear what your purpose in life is. Like, you don't need to be confused or discontent, because I think that's something very human, right?
Yes.
Like, animals aren't like discontent. They're not like, I'm like so mad with my lot in life. I want something else.
Right.
You know?
They're not like entitled.
Yeah, but we as people, we're always like a little bit discontent and isn't there more than this? Is this all I'm supposed to do? And I think that part of that is that eternity in our hearts, you know, like where C.S. Lewis said that it indicates that we were made for more than this world when everything in this world doesn't satisfy us. Mm. And so I think that there's value in that, maybe in that discontentment when it causes us to focus on our eternal creator.
Yes.
And I think that's what we wanted to enjoy kind of meditating on now is asking, like, you know, who is worthy of this type of love, this total devotion? Like, what else in our lives, in the world, is worthy, qualifies for our total trust,
right?
Our total confidence. Like, what is there in the world? What person is there? What relationship? What goal? What dream? What thing?
Yes.
What place?
Yeah, like, put it up and compare.
Yeah,
right?
I can never tire of reading Colossians 1. Let's do it. Let's just go there because I love Colossians 1. In Colossians 1, and in my translation, the little subheading for this part of Colossians 1 is the preeminence of Christ. Mm-hmm. And if you start in verse 15, and we could maybe just read 15 to 20, and just pay attention to how often this phrase, all things, is used. Mm-hmm. I remember, Roger, you taught a class on the character of God. And in that class, you just simply talked about how God is holy, and this is an attribute of God. And I think a lot of us can have an idea that to be holy, like, it can be a little bit like, ugh, you know, like better than everybody else, you know, or untouchable, maybe. Something's holy, it's sacred, it's not approachable. And I remember you teaching about how the word holy means set apart. And it's used in the Old Testament for a lot of things besides God. Like, he says that this is a holy place, that those foods can be holy or unholy.
Yes.
So the word is used in that sense, also of clean versus unclean, or set apart, consecrated, sanctified. But the way that we can think about God in terms of his holiness is that there is everything in creation. There's all things, which is what we're going to read here, this idea of all things, like everything in existence. And then there's God.
Yeah.
So there is all created things And God stands apart. He mm-hmm. is set apart from all created things. He is uncreated and he is holy in that way. He is unlike all things. Mm-hmm. So let's read Colossians 1:15-20 and just pay attention to that phrase, all things, because it's beautiful. So it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Mm. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Mm. It's incredible to sit with this, like, just beautiful, and I think very, like, profound truth that God is set apart from all things, everything else that there is, anything that we could love, anyone that we could love. God is unlike them. He does not resemble all the other things in the world mm-hmm. that we see and would maybe desire to focus on right. and set our devotion, our trust, and our confidence in. He stands apart from them. Like yes. he is holy in that yeah. way. And I really feel like that is what makes God able to command us
yes.
to love him with all of our
and
being.
Motivate.
Because he is so worthy of our love. Mm. And this aspect that he is holy, that he is set apart and right. unlike all things, I think is a really
compelling.
It's compelling, right?
It's compelling.
In addition to his character, like yeah, his yeah. goodness, his faithfulness, right. that he's rich in mercy, he's slow to anger.
Yes.
His steadfast love abounding yes. towards us. All of these things, I hope, pile up to quite a convincing, compelling reason to want to wholeheartedly follow this commandment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if I'm not real with myself and say, okay, God, I'm going to put you up against all the other things,
yeah.
you know, all the other things in my life, right? Yeah. Let's think about it practically. If I don't, then I'm selling myself short of what could be all things. I could gain all things. Like you're saying, Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. So,
and all these things will be
again,
added to you.
It's very practical. Maybe like, oversimplified in our minds, but maybe it's good for us to rehearse it that like if I compare God and Isaiah 40 says like to whom will you liken God?
Where is that in Isaiah?
Isaiah 40 verse 18, to whom will you liken God and what likeness compares with him? So
wow.
we're comparing like
yeah.
Is it apples to apples here? You know yes. what I mean? Like, are we comparing gods with gods?
That's so good.
Okay, you could say that, but no, there's no one like our God.
Yeah.
And here's why. He is love, and he comes first. His love comes to us first.
Yeah.
Initiated. So he, in a way, has overqualified, or he's gone beyond all other things because all other things are not complete of love and they don't come to me with this love. Right.
Yeah, right.
Like we heard yesterday in our church, a message about that, like how, you know, what other religion do you find where the God is coming to you?
Yeah.
Like it's the opposite way in this world. Mm-hmm. Everything is like, come to me and then you can get.
Yeah.
Like, then you can have this.
Yeah.
So if we were to compare, then it's hands down, God has been qualified to be the one I should adore. He wins the vote.
He
clearly overtakes
landslide
all other
yeah.
possible loves and desires that I could or we could have.
For sure. And if you listening and me listening, feel like you want to push back on that because there's something in your life that you really love, then like we've talked about in the past, like, you know, sit yourself down with the Lord and with his word and with your heart humble and open and ask yourself, what am I thinking? Like, what is keeping me in this place where I have my focus on something besides this God, this one, yeah, who is unlike anything created and unlike any other religion presented? Who can you compare him to? Mm. And actually, these verses in Isaiah 40.
Yeah, you got to read verse 28.
Verse 28, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable."
Right. What was the quote that the Pat?
Yeah. So Pastor Schaller, our pastor here in Baltimore, just this was yesterday in our church service. He was saying that, you know, sometimes people can have a skewed view of God. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how much God loves us. And he said, God is not far off in his cosmic rocking chair falling asleep somewhere.
Yeah. Right. You know? He's not like sitting,
he's not an old man who
doesn't care.
You know, yeah, he did this work a long time ago, created
set
all
it
the
in
things.
Motion.
And now he's just, you know, enjoying his retirement somewhere. But that God is actively desiring us. Mm. And God, it says, it's also right after that commandment in Deuteronomy 6 is where it says that God is a jealous God.
Yes.
And if that sounds weird to you, if you're like, how could God be like a jealous boyfriend comes to your mind? That's not the picture here.
No.
Of course, because God is not a man. He does not lie. He does not manipulate. He does not control. Mm-hmm. But he is jealous in that he has a deep desire for us. He desires us.
Yes.
And I think that that is something even believers of many, many years can lose sight of as we are serving him and serving those around us.
Right.
Right.
Well, and I think what it comes down to is not knowing this heart of love, right? Like we go back to the analogy with a dad telling his son this commandment. If I continue to spend my days, like let's say I'm the son now, and I continue to spend my days just wondering why is my dad telling me this, this, and this?
Yeah.
And I don't just go to him and ask, like, can you explain to me why you have given me this hard and fast rule or just this simple like measurement that you want me to abide by?
Yeah.
Why? And I think that's on us, mm-hmm. the human being.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this verse is saying. Have you not known?
Yeah.
Like, it's saying that you haven't asked.
Yep.
And I think that's what it comes down to when we are like, why don't I love God? Why don't I love God? It's like, well, have you asked him?
Yeah.
Have you like searched him out and said, like, can you just speak? Can you give me a clue here? Like, explain a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that happens. Like, we have a Bible, and sometimes when we just turn a page, it's like a moment of like asking why. And then we read that chapter and God's like so faithful, like a father with his lambs, like we heard, like that tenderly guide and carry them.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to get to know this. And that's a big reason we point the finger, you know, like we pointing the finger at God, but like really like we got to start here. Like I need to acknowledge this lack of maybe just not knowing why.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a great foundational ways to build on it, but you know, we go to church, we go to a small groups, we go to like a Bible study, we hang out with like certain people. I spend my days or my hours looking at certain things and other things.
Yeah.
They all start to build on understanding how I can love God.
Well, and if you were to do all of those things without a heart that is soft towards God and ask, like you said, like asking him, Lord, show me your love, show me your heart, you could do all those things in vain.
Right.
But if you are seeking him while he may be found, like it says, is that in Isaiah, I think, 55. I'm getting better at remembering Bible verses slowly. But if we seek him, with our hearts open towards him,
right,
then as we go to church and listen, as we speak with somebody, as we go to a Bible study, as we open up our Bibles alone, mm-hmm. God is so faithful to reveal himself to us.
Yes.
And we know that to know him, this is what we were saying earlier, yes. to know him, to know who he is to love him.
Yes.
Like he is lovable.
Yes.
If you have trouble loving God, then it's possible that either within you there is something, some healing, and something needs to be cleared up of your vision of who God is.
Yes, your knowledge of him.
You're not seeing his heart. You're not understanding his character the way that he truly is.
And therefore, you're held back from the true desire of your heart is yeah. to love him, is to serve
the design
yeah,
of
it's
you.
Design, right. Like you hand know? In the glove. Like,
yes.
You're so close, but like you just don't know. And yeah. I think, like I was saying, like that's how we should start our day.
Yeah.
Like, help me, Lord. Like, yeah. I don't believe, you know, Psalm 142, like, no one cares for me. No one cares for my soul.
Yeah, David starts that
who
way.
Who cares for my soul? Like yeah. pouring out that complaint. Like it's okay.
Yeah.
Because
I've been there. Yeah.
Because remember, this is the relationship. We have the foundation. God is love. We know that he loves first.
Yeah.
And now he's like, he's not a man. He's not a man, but he knows me. He knows my frame. He knows, yeah. knows who I am.
Yeah.
And now if I go on to know him, and that's what like, what Paul said, right, in Philippians 3:10, that yeah. I may know him. Mm-hmm. And in Hosea 6:3, like, let us press on to know the Lord. Like, press on to know the Lord. Like, it's like a thing that we just practice in our days. Yeah. And with that, we discover love. Yes. And with that, we are motivated to love and serve. Mm. And it's like,
yeah.
it starts playing out in a really practical way. Years go by, right? Like we're talking like, okay, let's say people in their mid 30s, 40s, or let's say your 20s, 40s, and then again, yeah. like later on in life, it is playing out in a real powerful, practical way.
Yes.
If we,
it happens in real time. It
yeah,
takes
it
time.
Does. Yeah. And then God is weaving in his plan,
yeah.
right? Because he's like, in John chapter 13, like it's like, if you love those around you, your brothers and sisters, yeah. like the world will know that I am God.
Yeah.
You know, that you are my disciples.
Yeah,
and that you can like God would be lifted up. So
think about what kind of God that is. The type of God who says, how do you love me? Love the people around you. Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus says, when he repeats that same commandment in Matthew 22,
yeah.
right after he says, and then in the same way, love your neighbor as yourself. This is our God, the God who commands you to love him with all of yourself. He's saying how to do that is to love your neighbors, love yourself, love your mm-hmm. neighbors. Like our God is so worthy of our complete devotion. And so if a person is struggling and asking or maybe doubting, do I love God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Get to knowing him.
Yeah.
Get to knowing him more and more. And if you have been a believer for decades, there is still more to be known
right.
about God. And so if there is more to be known, then there is more to love.
Yes.
Because to know him is to love him.
Right. And then what you're saying then is, it's like now God can give me a capacity. And the Bible teaches a lot about that heart capacity. Like there
like
is
enlarging.
Yeah. There's yeah, a tank yeah. of this, like, And it's measured and filled, right? But then there's like, David's like, enlarge my heart,
yeah.
enlarge my heart in Psalm 119.
And like, how does that happen?
Because, you know, like, I think when the light bulb moment hits that like God, is who he says he is and that he truly did love me first and I accept that love and now I in little ways return that love, I think in a way the Holy Spirit gives us, like through the word and through the body, like the church, the body that we see potential, we see opportunities.
Yeah.
I think that's what's playing out here. He has this in his mind. He's the designer of all this, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, if you follow this plan of action, right? you will see some serious results that are, we say, or the Bible says, eternal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Loving your neighbor as yourself, eternal. Mm. Like loving the sick and the destitute and the homeless or those who are cast out. Is it even measured in this world? No. But in God's eyes, it's eternal. So now we're starting to, we're dealing with a really big time word here, eternal, that this love, God, coming through us from him and coming through us and now being back out, like poured out again, is a sense of eternity. Like it's a practice of eternity. It is participating in eternity when we love God. And then it's like, it's really in practical ways. And like, it's playing itself out in many, many areas of our life. It can. Oh. And then it's like, sky's the limit, right? At that point.
Yeah. It's, as you were talking, it made me think about this verse, and I think we should probably close soon, but we all know it well, right? Romans 8:28. Now, talking about loving God, and then also talking about this concept of all things, this verse is so cool, and maybe we can give it a fresh look and enjoy it today as we close. That Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good."
Whoa.
That's so great. Good.
Say it again. Say the verse again.
"And we know," Romans 8:28, "we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." So as we close, I just hope this was encouraging to people, that loving God, he is so worthy of our love. He is the source of love. Before creation, he was love and he is still love. He then loved us first, demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, he came and died, and that he is so worthy of it. And he desires that we would love him, that we would know him.
He's a jealous God. What a cool thing that is, that our God is jealous, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing. So thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to subscribe and keep watching all of this week's shows. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And God bless you.
Have a great week.